Welcome to Packet Pushers, the data networking podcast that repeatably, predictably, and reliably arrives in your podcatcher every single week. The business value of infrastructure automation remains a tough topic to discuss, and we've tried it several times, and that's sort of coming to the realization that the first stages of automation are literally different for every company, for every networking team that gets together, because there's just so many areas that can be improved. And in today's sponsored show, we're going to be talking directly with two customers of Anuta Networks. First of all, Tata Communications and also F5 Networks are going to talk about their Anuta Networks experiences and using the Anuta Networks platform to orchestrate services inside of their existing network infrastructure. Now, Tata Communications is a global service provider with a business in more than 130 countries. They manage a massive MPLS network. They own their own infrastructure, including all the way down to the submarine cable that sits underneath. And they have a wide range of different services. And they're using Anuta Networks to orchestrate a new series of SD-WAN services. Our guest today is Peter Juffenholz. Peter, please introduce yourself to the Packet Pushers audience and tell us a little bit about what you do there.
Yeah, hi. My name is Peter Juffenholz, and I'm with Tata Communications for now about 10 years. I'm looking presently after their virtual network service portfolio. So here we are trying to bring to market not just SD-WAN, but also other virtualized services around NFV implementation, etc. And in the past, I've looked after the VPN environment as well.
Wow, managing VPNs has been pretty hard for a number of years. So you certainly, you know, doing that manually must have been a bit of a... You'd remember the bad old times, I imagine.
Yes, all of those.
And I imagine that automation and orchestration for you is really a way to change the way this works. Like when I've worked with carriers in the past and they've wanted to deploy VPNs, that's taken them months to get everything set up. And that seems to be a situation which is ripe for change.
Yes, it is. And I think part of that is to have the tools of the trade to do that with the zero-touch provisioning, with embedding existing services and running on top of it through SD-WAN technologies, for example, so that you can onboard customers quicker and faster and do migrations in on a different pace. You also eliminate errors and faults along the way and simplify the way you can deploy services once the initial design is done and you have created, for example, templates that then can be easily applied.
Well, yeah, once you've got the design, then it becomes how do you repeatably execute on the design week after week? Is how I would see it.
Yes, although every customer is a unicorn. So they're all different, and we will always have to go through that process with them. But a lot of the large network rollouts tend to last a long time. We are looking at rollouts that go 12 or 18 months. It's not unusual for global MPLS networks.
So to set some context for our conversation, Peter, we're talking with you about Tata Communications. They have an ISO SD-WAN service. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how it ties into Anuta?
Yeah, certainly. So ISO SD-WAN is part of our cloud enablement efforts. Under the name ISO, we have grouped together some of our private cloud services as well as our network services, particularly our hybrid WAN offerings and cloud enablement private connect into public cloud services as well. The SD-WAN service is the latest member of that. And what we have done is we have a two-pronged approach, so to speak. We have one approach called Select, that is a vendor-based architecture where we onboarded Versa Networks, and then we have a in-house built capability around standard Cisco ISR in the OS that we automated through Anuta to have capabilities around ZTP, zero-touch deployments, as well as dynamic path selection and congestion management that allows us to address customer requirements on their journey to cloud and hybrid networking.
So what I'm hearing there is that you're using Anuta then to orchestrate the setup of iOS devices using DMVPN and all of the technologies that we know and love today, not one of these new fancy-smancy SD-WAN technologies that's all different. As you were talking about the Prime product, that's just the routers that we know and love, and you've orchestrated those using Anuta.
Yes, whether we love them is a different question, but that's what we have out there. Yes, we're orchestrating standard ISRs. We started with G2 series, and we're doing 4Ks and CSRs, etc. So right. It's really standard fare.
But one of the things about the Anuta product is the multi-vendor nature of it. So they have, or you know, in previous shows, say back in show 301, we talked to Anuta about their product, and they were keen to emphasize their ability to scale across many, many different vendors. Is that a key factor for you too?
Yeah, certainly it is. So the Cisco story is only part of it, right? So in most of the deployments that we are doing, we have more than just a router. We have firewalls, we have WAN optimization services, we have multiple deployment scenarios, virtual and physical. So in order to do this, we certainly rely on the flexibility of the NCX platform.
So when you were rolling out this service to customers, you were, every time you stood up a service, you had to go out and touch a Cisco router, you had to touch a firewall, you had to touch WAN optimization to set up the service individually.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. And then also, depending on what underlay you're connected to, there might be other or different systems involved. They come with their own IP address management, etc. Right. Mm-hmm. So this is all something that we can sidestep by templatizing and automating that deployment.
And so you're actually offering proxy servers and firewalls as part of your ISO product?
Yes, so we have integrated our in-house managed security services. So we have managed branch deployments, so your traditional physical box on the customer premises. We have virtual solutions. We have inbuilt UTM services, cloud-based UTM mm-hmm. services, and we also bundled with Zscaler.
Wow, that's good. So that means you're actually spanning not only a wide range of Cisco devices, you're also managing a wide range of security vendors all under a single tool.
Yes, but it is understood that the configurations are managed on our end, right? So partner integration is yet not part of this. So we are not directly interfacing APIs with Zscaler or anything like that, right?
One of the challenges that, I'm just thinking how difficult it would be to deploy routers out to a site and get them to, get them installed and configured and tested and validated. What sort of time frame are you looking at to deploy this? Like if you're deploying 130 countries and thousands of customers, you really need to have this much slicker than the way we've done it in the past. How long does it take to get a new edge device down on the ground?
So from a physical perspective, the delivery of the device isn't really changing, right? So what changes is the speed with which we can configure and onboard it. If we can run on top of an existing deployment, then we can have a device on site probably within 2 weeks and turn it up, depending on if there's internet service already available, broadband internet, then we can connect using that service, and we can set up also some LTE based services in the meanwhile until last miles are provisioned and connected.
So how long was it taking you before Anuta came along to get a service up and running?
So from a timeline perspective, the times that we are saving are multiple, right? So number one, we are reducing the time that it takes to provision the router itself on the network once it is even installed. Uh-huh. We can compress that time from 60 minutes, somewhere there about 60 minutes, 45 to 60 minutes down to about 5 minutes now. Because all we do is push a template towards it, right? So the pre-configuration work is also much faster. It takes the trained engineers very little time to pick the templates and customize them to customer requirement. That takes about a 10-minute time or so. And then it can be deployed. Now, the physical devices, as I said, hasn't really changed. What changed is the way we onboard them, and that we can also provide zero-touch configuration for those. So we can ship a device on-premises, it connects to internet, gets its IP address, and connects to the controller.
You've effectively built a cloud platform. So a lot of the other SD-WAN vendors are out there have built cloud platforms and their custom devices, and they wake up and they connect to the system over the internet and then zero touch. But you've done that with existing devices that most customers would already have today using your Anuta platform.
Yeah, we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I think that fascinates me in a lot of ways, because you can actually, if you know, there are companies who need to build their own solution, and that the challenge to me has always been that, you know, so many different CLI commands that you would take to build a VPN. And really what you're saying is you've shrunk the entire configuration process down just to a template, which really just needs customization for what, the IP addresses of the customer or the naming conventions or something like that?
Yeah, for example, yes.
Right.
So it really, I mean, it depends on what features that the customer is getting, right? For now, it's also new configurations only, so we haven't really touched the onboarding of existing customers that we have already deployed or had deployed before we worked with Anuda, that are migrating from an existing configuration, for example, into the Azure Prime offering. Mm-hmm. And for that, we need, that's going to be available in July, as far as I recall. Mm. And that will definitely help us to do the migration work after careful planning, et cetera, to roll that out and push the configuration instead of, you know, device by device with an engineer doing scripting, et cetera. Yeah. Now we push it out to 100 or whatever, 200 devices at a time.
So that makes things like configuration audits and reconciling asset lists and things like that pretty straightforward too. So are you actually using Anuda to do your asset management?
No, we don't use them for asset management, but it does auto discovery. So Anuda's platform is discovering the devices in the network and takes the configurations that it finds. And that makes it a lot easier for us to then push the devices, push new configurations to the devices. Because that exists. So we still have external IPAM and other services and inventory management, right?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well,
so
those solutions are often integrated with other parts of your network though, right? Or you might have, as Tata, you have dozens of services and many business units, and there might be a system for inventory management that actually spans the entire company, I can imagine.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So you actually want to use that inventory system because the rest of the company wants to use the same thing. So you don't necessarily want. So... But in terms of doing things like role-based access control or, you know, iOS updates, that's all managed quickly, like to your level of what you need?
Yeah, we can do this. The Anuda platform is providing us with the capability to create audit trails and create the right authentication levels for that, right? So we are able to maintain the integrity of the service and to document the integrity of our changes throughout the process.
So did you consider, so before you got to Anuda, I'm assuming you considered a couple of other different products. I mean, there's quite a few out there in this space these days. Which were the ones that you looked at?
We looked closely, after an initial survey, we looked very closely at three different vendors. One was TLF, now Cisco NSO, right? Okay. As well as Glue. So Glueware was another contender for that. However, because of the timelines that we were looking at and the speed to have all the components with role-based changes and so forth ready, that was only really possible with Anuda. Mm.
So you really felt that Anuda was ahead of these other options? I thought, what about writing your own? I mean, you know, Tata Communications has access to, you know, very large self-development team, and the ability to run your own must have been attractive.
To a degree, well, so that's maybe overstating it a little bit. We are still a carrier, right? And we're not notoriously good at building software. We have done that on the data center side. So there's a set of guys that have actually built their own cloud orchestration platform in-house that bridges private and public cloud. But so on the network side, we didn't feel we had either the time or the talent to do that, right? So the Anuda platform provided a nice framework for us to onboard that rather quickly. So, because it's more than just having a few lines of code. You have to have a working UI, right? So, and the stability of deployments that had been done, and the platform is around for a while. So, the kings are out of that box, right?
It's true. I do forget, really, but you know, we've been doing. Well, Anuda's been coming on the packet pushes now for like 3 or 4 years, and they've been around for longer than that. That must have been a consideration.
Yeah, sure. So a proven track record of capabilities was important to us, right?
And
Anuda has done a lot of development, and they are really they have some really smart guys that know inside out what to do with network automation, and that was really one of the key elements. And they were able to convince us and demonstrate to us that they can deliver in the timelines that we gave them.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about how NCS works. Like the whole NCX platform itself is very much based around these Yang models. And we know that a lot of our current vendors today sort of have a love-hate relationship with Yang and their implementations of Yang. How's your experience been around model-driven deployment or model-driven device mapping or model-driven device models and how you get down to the network? Is that working or is that, you know, how's that playing out in the market today?
We didn't see any problems with that Yang model for the task that we have taken on so far, and that we see to come up in the near future for our services. Right. So I don't really have much of an opinion on Yang versus other approaches. I got to say it worked. Really to the satisfaction of what we have deployed. And, you know, the integration, all the way up to the integration with our self-service portal, right? So I have really no issues on the Yang modeling.
How much experience did Tata Communications have with Yang before you began your engagement with Anuda? Was it something you were familiar with, or did you have to skill up on it a little bit?
No, we had to scale up on it, yeah, certainly.
Was that hard, or was it challenging, or was it just a thing?
Well, it's always hard to get engineers out to take on new trainings while they are having a day job. But I think it wasn't so much the skill set, right? It was really taking them out of the job and getting them a crash course and then implementing it internally as well and understanding what it means for. But we put the KPIs around it because it is part of our future, of our future in as a networking company to have automation and virtualization throughout our organization.
And right? And it seems like Yang is the path forward anyway. Like the generalized support from the IETF and from the some vendors are embracing Yang wholeheartedly, and some not so much. Like our beloved security vendors, for example, seem to have forgotten what Yang's all about. But then again, security companies live in their own little bubble, so maybe that's normal.
So I want to say, it sounds like you're saying you were confident that the network engineers, the operators you're working with, they had the capability of learning Yang. It was just a question of how do we fit this into their schedule while they're still doing their day jobs and keeping things running, also going out and learning this modeling concept and then bringing it into the workplace and getting it running.
Yeah, correct. So, the concepts were known, but obviously, knowing something intellectually and applying it in templates and so forth, that took a couple of weeks to get them ready. But then working alongside with the Anuda people was very good as well, because I think that was the proof of the pudding to ultimately put those templates into play. And so the team is now doing their own Yang models as well, right? So no longer relying on Anuta for every change and modeling element, right?
And the good part about the models is today you can use a CLI, but tomorrow you can move to protocols like NetConf or gRPC or whatever emerges as a different way to configure the device.
Yeah, correct.
You don't have to rewrite. You don't have to rewrite your entire program to take advantage of a change from say CLI to gRPC or something. It's just a case of building the southbound API. Talk about scale. What sort of scale are you sort of intending to get to with this, and where are you down that path now?
Well, I think the original scale that we looked at was several hundred thousand devices and instances. So that was the the scaling in general that we looked at. The initial deployment that we have done is supporting about 10,000 devices for the time being, and we have so far we've just begun rolling it out a couple of months back, and so far we have done some 250 devices with about 300 network configurations.
But this is also multi-tenancy? you've done 250 devices with, you know, more to come, but also across multiple tenants. It's not just one big network here.
Yeah, that's multiple customers. Yeah, I think it's now three customers that are onboarded on the platform, and the self-management and administration we're going to do, we are doing through our portal. So the customer portal has functionality built into it to make certain changes, allow customers to adjust the configurations. Right. For now, it's very limited. We only allow them to change up QoS policies and create change applications into different application classes.
Right.
Especially customer identified or self-managed applications.
And you mentioned earlier this CPE configuration time. You said it went from about 60 minutes per device to down to 5 minutes per device. So you've actually measured that out in the field with these deployments.
Yeah, we did. I mean, after the initial ones, once we had the template set up and the team was ready to go and run, it was a significant improvement. We averaged it out, and the timelines are just phenomenal. I mean, it's so good to not have your engineers do manual work. That can be automated, and that can really make a difference. As I said, instead of configuring one device after another, here you just apply the template once and push it out. And we have so far detected zero error rate. We haven't had really any instances where the configuration failed. If it failed for whatever reason, it was because the device was busy. The push is repeated and ultimately go through.
And not so, because of the copy paste failed or because the human on the other end got something wrong in the numbers or something.
Yeah, correct. There's no copy and paste anymore, right?
So much could go wrong with a copy and paste, and we forget that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, somebody puts too many characters in the buffer and paste it down and boom. Or you paste it in the wrong order. So you've got this system built out. You've gone through the first phase. What's the next phases? Now that you've got the greenfield situation working, where do you go?
So the next phase, as I highlighted already, is to go to have brownfield deployments as well. So migrate customers from other services and onboard them into the SD-WAN service. So that means more reading of existing configurations and then pushing a modified template back onto the device. That's one of the next steps. Then we have also in the roadmap to onboard some application optimization services alongside the Cisco devices. That's going to be for Riverbed in the first round. And then we also look at at building feedback loops and reaction that will allow us to do a bit of PBR.
Okay, so really sophisticated stuff. You're talking about building feedback loops in the network so you can start monitoring the state end-to-end from those devices and start making adaptive configuration changes in an automated way.
Yeah, because today we can do this all, based on the CPE measurements already. We do application offloading, we do dynamic congestion management with adaptive shaping, but that's all living on the devices, right? This doesn't use the control plane yet. It doesn't use the flow information that we have yet. So, and that will be the next step to see how we can integrate the actual NetFlow measurements to trigger configuration changes. Yes.
See, this is always the stuff that I always wanted to configure, but we spent so much time just getting the basics done that we never got to play with the advanced stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I hope it doesn't happen to us this time. So.
Well, I think, you know, this idea, I mean, people misunderstand the concept of models. The idea is behind a model is that you say, this is what the device should be able to do. And you have this software layer, which then turns that into a Yang model. And then you have a thing below the Yang model, which says, how do I turn this Yang model into a configuration for this device? And that might be, you know, straight over the NetConf protocol into the device, or it might be through a CLI interface, or it might be through some other method of configuring the device. But the point is that the model doesn't change from device to device. It's consistent across the entire network. You just have some way of adapting it to each device that you're going to use. And I think that's the real transition here. And I imagine that you're on the cusp of saying we can almost bring on any device as long as it maps into the model.
Yes, technically, yes. So the only issue is you still need to troubleshoot it as well, right? So
yes.
And you need to have these processes around it as well. So yeah, but in general, it's true. I mean, as long as you have the right model and the right adapter to the device, you can basically automate any of the configuration tasks that are required. And that's certainly one of the reasons why, you know, a flexible platform as Anudas is really helpful, because it can do that for so many different vendor platforms and devices and models around it.
So there's the technical aspects of putting an orchestration system, and there's also the sort of operational and human aspects of it. Did this cross silos in your organization? Did you have to go among different groups and get sort of a unified buy-in on this? What was the inside process?
To a degree, yeah. So because we have multiple different product lines, obviously, that are operating there. We have the underlying product lines, we have the CPE management, we have my team, and then we have the security services and I think the cloud connector is another product team there. So we and across all of them, we had to make sure that we have at least a common understanding of what we are trying to achieve and what we are buying into, because there's also no reason for us to stop with SD-WAN and not move this forward to any and all of our Cisco managed CPEs, right? Uh-huh. So there's nothing stopping us from that. It is just that the urgent need was around the SD-WAN services, because that's where we have more complex CLI work done. I think somewhere our engineer said that it was some 400 CLIs that they had to do across some different vendor platforms, vendor platforms involved. And, so that's no way to do this. And we have already in these deployments that we had done before we had the automation ready, it was, we already discovered that we have a lot of manual labor in there, and that causes problems, because mistakes are made. And then, repeat configurations taken precious time away from moving towards your delivery target, right? So that was a very, very key driver. But I think the uniformity of such an automation project and the benefits that it can reap is definitely understood by other teams.
I just get the sense that you don't seem to be bothered. You just seem to say this was all pretty straightforward. It wasn't enormously difficult.
So internally, it was more difficult internally than actually working with the Anuda guys. So I got to say, they have done a bang on job, right? They deliver in 37 business days, and they are the most. No, I mean, seriously, they are the most humble and hardworking people that I have worked with, right?
Right.
So that's a very nice piece. Internally, yes, you have turf wars. Who's going to do it, and why is it? Why is it only this operations team and not the others? And how do we integrate this back? But we had backing from senior management on it to meet our target deadlines and onboard that SD-WAN service, and that's always helpful.
It's not too often in a technology project that the internal problems are bigger than the technology problems.
But that's what reality is around this. No, the hurdles internally. I'm currently working towards VCP services, right, and NFV orchestration, etc. And the problems that causes from internally, who is talking to whom and who is taking responsibility for which part and so forth, that's a much larger and much more difficult conversation to have than with the technology vendors.
Sadly, we can't orchestrate and automate that. Well, I think that's just about all we have time for speaking with you today, Peter. Thanks very much for joining us. And I really appreciated you taking time to talk about your experience of getting the Anuda system into your network. I do sort of get the sense that you've actually haven't had too much trouble making the Anuda go. And most of your efforts have been much more spent on bringing the people forward into the orchestration and automation, perhaps than making the technology, do the thing it's supposed to do.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary. And in the end, you know, it's something that helps our customers to have a better service experience with us. And I think that's if that's the outcome, then it's all worth it.
And if you'd like to hear more from Peter, or perhaps get in contact with him, you can always talk to Anuta and about what his story is, and perhaps they can get in contact with him. And there'll also be some links to his social media profiles in the show remote. So thanks very much to Peter for joining us today. And let's go straight on into the next interview with Mike Lechner from F5 Network. Networks about his experience of Anuta Networks NCX and how that's been helping them to deploy new services. Now, Mike is the manager of product development at F5 Networks and is part of a team that operates the cloud services that offers DDoS and web application firewalling. And that's become just a massive area of interest for enterprises for securing their internet gateways as the rise of, you know, well, security has made us all think. So let's get straight into it. First of all, Mike Lechner, welcome to the show on the Packet Pushers. Thanks so much for giving us your time today.
Oh, thanks. Great to be here.
Thanks. So why don't we kick it off very briefly? Why don't you summarize what it is, this DDoS and WAF service that you're putting together for F5's customers?
Sure. As you're aware, and most of your listeners are aware, you know, F5 traditionally has the big IPs and the load balancers. And our focus is a little bit different on the security and cloud aspect. Our team, our department, Silverline, we offer the Silverline DDoS protection and the Silverline web application firewall. And main thing with the Silverline DDoS protection is, you know, taking that bad, dirty traffic for our customers and scrubbing it and returning it the clean traffic to them.
So that means you've got a whole bunch of instances all around the world sucking in that DDoS traffic and doing the detection. You know, that's the scale we're talking about.
That is correct. Data centers distributed around the globe and advertised, anycasted out to get as much performance we can for our customers.
And Mike, you're working with Anuta NCX to continue to roll out this product.
Yeah, correct. So, you know, we have the service that is out there today, and what we're doing is bringing Anuta in to centralize and help us orchestrate the service for our internal applications and pieces for our customer portal and other internal applications to configure the service and the pieces that are required for our customers to as we onboard and make changes.
Right. So we've had Anuta on the show, Anuta Networks has been on the show a few times over the years. We've talked to them about their platform. And mainly we focused on NCX as a tool that configures networking devices using the model-based architecture. Is that what your primary purpose is, or is there more to it than that?
Well, the first phase of it is to abstract the business logic and the actual device. Like which device needs to be configured for a particular service. So we went down and took different workflows for different features and functions that we need to orchestrate our environment. And we put that into Anuta and uses Anuta as the source of truth for that configuration data and augmenting services. So it's like an API layer for us and our internal applications.
So it sounds to me like it's almost like the core of your platform. You've put some portals on top of it and you've done some development around it, but it's almost like it's a key part of that whole platform for you?
Yes. I mean, that's as far as the network configuration, yes, it is getting more and more there. And because what it's allowing us to do is take that kind of core functionality and logistics out of each of the applications. An example is being... which switches do need to be updated? Which router configuration? Which area? We can abstract that out and put that smarts inside Anuta NCX. And then our outside applications just have to say hey, we need to deploy in the DC area. And then, you know, the applications don't have to care what devices or switches or routers and things that are there.
Now, Anuta NCX is a multi-vendor platform. Is that something that's useful to you? Are you really configuring lots of different devices out there?
Well, multi-vendor is definitely something you look for in a product like this. As we're building out our infrastructure and as we built out our infrastructure, you still kind of focus in on, you know, some key players there, but they're not always the same vendor for every piece. Like, you know, our router is not necessarily the same as our switch vendor. And who knows in the future, with new technologies and things of that nature, if you need to put a different vendor back there, it's nice to know that you don't have to code for that particular vendor.
So you've got this situation where you've got a pretty substantial infrastructure. You're talking about taking a lot of load. Not only are you talking about multiple vendor, but multiple regions, but you're also talking about two areas of real concern to me, which is multi-tenancy and also scaling quickly. Now, those things that you've been able to look into and satisfy yourself with how that's going to go?
So just to clarify one point, the service we have today is up and running. We're just bringing Anuta in to help us gear up for the future. And putting Anuta in place, what we see is, because you take some of the current applications, and let's say the way they're currently doing the device configuration, but say you have more than one application. So now who really owns that configuration? Like, are they both caching the information? As far as configuration, so the immediate impacts we could see is if we use Anuta as a source of truth, and we can roll out agents to each of the data centers that talk to the devices, it's a lot more quickly, right? Because they're local. But then instead of each application having to go to get that status because, everyone's making changes and doing things, we can just query Anuta and get that status right from there.
So then it really becomes like a key app. Like, it becomes like a back-end system. I imagine you've got few other systems. Like, this is a fairly big and complicated system. So you probably have a few different things in there, some of which are self-developed and some of which, are NCX is doing for you. So why would you buy NCX instead of, considering the alternatives? I mean, what other alternatives did you consider, and then why buy NCX at the end of the day?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And, the first two pieces is, do we actually need to buy a third-party vendor, right? Mm. Can we just build this ourselves, right? Yeah. And that evaluation happened. But, orchestration is tricky, right? And so for us, we look at our department, and is that a best use of our time? And it was determined that it wasn't. So then we go out and look for vendors. And our initial choice was actually a different platform, from one of those other big vendors out there. And by the time we prioritized projects and the project and, got funding and everything else for that, we found three other competitors to that product. So it was really in our best interest to reevaluate at that point, right? We were able to rule out the first two very quickly, but Anuta was different, right? And it kind of bubbled up on our radar. So then we really did some good analysis there. And thought that this was the solution to go. Now, obviously, being a little risky, right? Because they're not as big and not as well established there. But basically, what the product was and the way that it's built and the way that it fits into our organization was great.
Right. So when you went through the process, you would have also gone through the consideration of build or buy. Like, are you still, how much development are you doing yourself, and how much development have you saved by going straight to a pre-built platform like Anuta NCX?
So you're right. We still have to do some development, and actually that's another thing. We had to outweigh the cost. We could have went to Anuta and said, hey, professional services, here's what we want to build and go and do it. But we decided a different approach. We really wanted to scale up on the product and learn how it works so that we can kind of control our own destiny. So that required a little more on the front end, but was definitely well worth the risk.
That leads down to the discussion where one of the big things we're talking about in modern network orchestration tools is this concept of model-driven architecture. So you have a model where you create it, and then the Yang models and the tool chain that you use to be able to handle the devices. One of the questions I always like to ask people is, did you have people problems introducing this model-driven type orchestration system?
No. And actually, Yang modeling was new to me, was new to the team. But really, when you start looking at it, it's not that tricky, right? Very similar to XML or some of the other markup languages. And what I really liked about Anuta was they provide this NDK SDK piece. And while it is an appliance and kind of a black box, the NDK really exposes you to a lot of existing models. So it's very easy to kind of, investigate and look on how things are modeled, whether it's different, service types or different objects. And so the learning curve was pretty easy with that. And then using the development kit and putting in models, it was easy to, kind of test those things out and go. But we definitely spent a lot of time on focusing and trying to get our modeling right to begin with. Because going back to the development piece, if you can get the Yang models really good. A lot of the SDK can generate a lot of the code templates and the module templates for you. That just allows you to focus on the business logic piece. So it definitely eases in development.
Did that does that shift from device-centric networking, or packets through the devices, or the network itself, to standing back and doing the model? Has that transition been really powerful for you? Has it been simple enough to achieve, or is there sort of, would you give anybody some advice about how to approach that model-driven architecture and how to start thinking about that?
Sure. I mean, the approach that I took was more of the service type model, right? What are we trying to provide? And again, we were balancing it out of, do we want to build like, 1,000 different models and then have the applications piece or part together? Do we want to build this one big monolithic model that handles all of our configuration? And we kind of settled on the middle was, well, what really defines our service? Like if you're creating a customer, or you're adding a customer endpoint, or things of that nature. So, abstracting the actual device stuff out and just providing these like API calls, and then the way that you put them out on dependencies, then you can actually hook service models to each to make sure that there are dependencies where your applications don't have to worry, right? You can tell them, here's the order, but if they choose not to do it, we can still check it inside the service model pieces there. And so that's the approach that we took, but more of this, what service are we providing? And we look at, all of our internal teams as customers. And so it's like, what's going to make it easy for them? How can we sell it to them to use this product? So we try to make it as easy as possible.
So a lot of other people have talked to us about, using Puppet and Ansible to do their configuration and to do their automation of the network configuration. But it sounds to me from the way you're looking at it, you're actually saying, I'm configuring an entire service. And if you had have actually gotten down into this, writing code like Python for Puppet and Ansible and doing this device, you might not have actually got to your service problem. Like just from the way you talk, you're just focused on the business aspects.
Correct. So you're right. You could spend a lot of time in doing this, but you're still, it's like someone has to do that business logic, whether it's the outside application or where we chose to put it inside the Anuta piece there to, again, to make it easy and friendly to use for these other applications, just and really extracting as much of the topology and the network as possible, in using like a Puppet or an Ansible. Sure, you can configure the device, but you still have to be aware of the devices and all of the things that go along or which steps to take. And that's where we kind of try to abstract that out in this orchestration, right? Because like to me, Puppet and Ansible are more of, how do I configure the switch or, server or something like that? It just stops the repetitive tasks. Where orchestration, I'm saying, hey, I want to add widget A, who needs to know anything about widget A? And that's where like Anuta comes in for us.
So when you're building out these models, is this a kind of a cross-organizational effort, or is it just, I need the networking group for this and then the application group for that? Or does everybody get at the table the first time around and say, okay, let's talk this whole thing through?
So my approach was, again, looking at all the different teams as customers, right? And some customers in this case are a little more, priority than others, right? So I really looked at the network team as being priority A customer because they're the devices, right? They're the ones that are getting called in the middle of the night if there's problems and those type of pieces. So I really focused on them first. And it was good because I'm not a network engineer by trade, but I do know enough to be dangerous. So
that's the best kind of knowledge.
Yeah. And talking with our network engineering team, so what I had to do was kind of get a feel for, they have what needs to be configured and why, but I have a unique perspective because, like, I'm not a network engineer. Yeah. So and working with the network team, I had a different perspective where, I'm not sure how all the pieces fit together. So, I ask different questions and things to look at it from that service way and build it out and try to map out dependencies and stuff. And that's what was really key for us and how we determined what service models to build. Because, you're looking at things like, well, if I delete this piece, I want to make sure I don't delete other core pieces that things are responsible for, right? That are hooked into other models. So we kind of looked at all of those dependencies and things like that and kind of really crafted out, this is a service and that's a service. And it's really easy to look at this service model here for a dependency, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. I think what you're saying, if I turn that into nerd speak, if I can have a go at it, is sure. You've kind of got this Anuda, you've got the NCX platform, and it's got all of these models, and it's got its northbound APIs and its southbound APIs, and you've got all of the models and the pieces in there, and because it sees everything as a yang, and you know, just basically you say, go and do this to that device, and it goes, and it just goes off and does it for you. So all of a sudden, you're not sitting there thinking to yourself, if I get in the car, I've got to turn the engine on, and then the pistons have to work, and then the fuel has to pump, you know, blah, 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 and all that. And that's pretty much what you're doing when you use manual automation, like Ansible and Puppet. You've got to think about an awful lot of those steps yourself. But Anuda kind of takes that away from you, because you just have to say, well, I've got a Cisco device or a Juniper device or an F5 device, whatever it is in the network, there's a Yang model for it. If I want to do this to it, it just self-generates the code for you and goes off and does it. And kind of that leaves you free to start thinking about, well, if I did this and put this in, then I could run this service flow. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, absolutely, because the focus is not on what commands do I have to run on the device. It's like, what are my rules for actually doing this configuration? So example is like, you go to add a customer. What's the first step? Well, the VLAN for our customer needs to be populated on all of the devices in the network, all the edge, let's say. And yeah. So if our, our portal team, adds a new, or our portal application adds a new customer, it says, add customer XYZ, and then it doesn't know what devices, it doesn't know what data centers, it just knows at that point, the VLAN is everywhere it needs to be, or whatever, in every other step. Mm-hmm. But from my layer, and using the SDK, I can say, well, here are all the devices that we do configuration. Hey, it's a level or a layer 3 interface, and we add this VLAN on, and by magic, the VLAN gets added in all the right places.
See, and this to me is the shift, right? This is the shift away from doing something at the CLI where the human had to translate the business intent into, arcane mystic code that came out of their fingers in some command line, to moving towards the first step of automation, which is Ansible and Puppet, which is actually all a lot of people can actually manage to achieve, because you can only make small incremental changes. But if you can start to imagine an orchestration system like NCX, which has, the portal and the models and does a lot of that work for you, it seems to me that you just automatically stand right the way back from the actual network itself, and you're really focused on, just getting the region set up. The tenancies are already configured. This thing happens, that thing happens. You can do configuration checks and validations and dependency checks to make sure that things, because that's all taken care of for you in the NCX platform.
Yeah, and it's actually making the network and the devices like another application, right? And it's putting that API there that other people can go with, but doesn't have to worry about, do I SSH and CLI these commands, VLAN add. It's just add it. Right. And it's all abstracted.
It's all abstracted. So I wanted to just ask some questions about the Anuda solution itself. As we were chatting before we came online, we talked a little bit about the role-based access control model and the IPAM. Was there something about NCX that really caught your eye or your attention there?
Yeah, so one of the things with the role-based access is, in using, obviously you can set up users and permissions for the UI itself, but the access controls are very flexible. And so when you're designing your APIs and exposing them, you can apply the same model to those APIs as well. So, making a set of read-only calls or read-write calls and those things based off of the service models that we developed ourselves. It's super configurable in that way. And, everything from the product itself is basically like a layer of APIs, and you're able to control any portion of the roles and access and stuff for any portion of the product.
So I think that's important, because you're building a multi-tenant system that's going to be administered by a central party. You really need to know that system's right out there. So it's going to integrate into other pieces for your particular situation, and it's going to be flexible enough to be what you want. What about IP addressing? Are you managing that from within NCX too?
So today we're not. So the first phase that we worked on was putting this, for lack of a better term, I'll put the abstraction layer, right? Building NCX as that for the applications. But you're right. At that point, if we have one application here that's managing our IP addresses or even our VLAN pools for there, it's like, well, why do that, right? And so our second phase is to abstract that away from our customer too. So if our portal says, hey, we're going to, you know, create this customer and that requires a unique a VLAN, why do they have to send it in? We'll just do it for them. And so those pieces with IPAM, VLAN pools, and those pieces, again, put those in control of Anuta and just so the applications don't have to worry.
We're getting towards the end here. So I want to sort of wrap this up a little bit. Now, if you were talking to somebody who's going to take on an NCX platform and an orchestration project along the lines of what you've just talked about here, have you got some lessons that you've learned maybe you'd like to pass on to someone who's getting into this space?
Sure. I mean, the very first lesson I'd say is the network orchestration is not easy. And so if you choose to go at it on your own, be prepared. But then after that, you know, really focus on, take the time to really look at, you know, what you're trying to build and design. Again, we took this the service model approach in what we're providing as a service. So it really takes a lot to take that time up front and defining your Yang models for your services, breaking out like what your services are and the dependencies. And once you have a clear vision there, it makes then development much more quickly. But that's almost like any project you're going to undertake, right? The initial planning really saves a lot in the long run.
Well, I think the challenge with orchestration is there's too many choices.
Yeah.
And in the sense that you could take it in many different directions, you could model services in different ways. And then a lot of these modeling systems allow you to do things that you've never done before. And all of a sudden you start thinking, well, like, you know, I could do this and I could do this. And there's too much flexibility. And suddenly you get lost in what was I trying to achieve rather than actually this is what I'm doing sort of thing.
Sure. And that's why, you know, your goals in advance of what you're, you know, what are we trying to solve here? What problem am I trying to solve is definitely keep the focus on that. And, you know, we try to do an iterative approach, solve the problems and, you know, oh, this would be cool to investigate, right? And so can we do this? Can we do this other feature? And so definitely add it, but, you know, stay focused on your core.
All right. So the thing I find interesting about your NCX deployment is that it's very distributed. You've got multiple data centers, multiple sites. You're very customized in the sense that you're scaling across lots of different hardware devices in the southbound, but the services you're building on the top are reasonably diverse as well. How have you found, and now this is going to be like a kicker question. I know what you're going to say, but how have you found working with Anuta? Because this could be a really difficult thing. There's an awful lot of elasticity in there. And when you've got a vendor who's sort of, here's your product, let you on your line, that's not what you need.
Again, you know, when we looked, we knew we had two things. Like if we just wanted a product and we wanted something, you know, to work tomorrow, we know that and working with Anuta, you know, we could utilize professional services and we can get what we wanted. But that doesn't work in an on-call arena where I'm getting called at 3 a.m. and I'm not sure how it works. So it's like, oh, wait, I've got to call my vendor. So we made the choice of taking the investment and learning the platform. Now, the thing that I loved about the platform is even though it's an appliance and delivered in a VM, in somewhat of a black box, it's still really open, especially with the SDK, the NDK, they call it. And so with that, not only is it pretty much an open book at that point as far as configuration and how things work, but you still have the ability to expand on devices. Let's say maybe a fully feature or command set was not fully supported right now at this moment. I can go ahead and fix that and I can expand it myself on top of the product that's delivered. And then if it's something really useful, I can feed it back to Anuta and they can include it for everyone. Or if there's not a device that they don't, say we have our own device and it's not supported by Anuta, I can actually write the templates and things to support that device as well. So we've got a lot of flexibility there. And, you know, spending the time and learning the platform and the product will really reap benefits for moving forward and the things we want to do. We don't have to rely on anyone else to move our agenda forward.
Well, Mike, I think that's just about it for today. I don't think I've got any more questions to ask you. So thanks very much for your time. I really appreciate it. Have you got anywhere on the internet where people can find you? Have you got through your blog or your social at all?
Well, just outside of Twitter and LinkedIn, you can find me on Twitter or Michael Lechner on LinkedIn, but not anything with blogs or anything like that.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. And thanks to Anuta Networks for sponsoring today's show and talking a little bit with their customers about what they're doing on the NCX platform. Now, you can find this and many more fine free technical podcasts along with our community blog at packetpushers.net. You can follow the Packet Pushers on Twitter as @packetpushers. Find us on LinkedIn, like us on Facebook, rate us on iTunes and a range of other fine activities. And last but not least, remember that too much technology would never be enough.